Blog Talk Radio.
Survive better than everybody else. You would think that the, you know, all of that struggling, all of that being broke, all of that being poor, all of those disadvantages would make you tough and impervious towards anything, huh? It doesn't seem to work out that way now, does it? On the flip side, are we saying that people who grew up with a silver spoon in their mouth, or people who grew up privileged or not financially broke, if people who grew up financially well off, parents worked, had money, saved, invested, handled their business, are we saying that I know I can beat this kid, or I know I could drag this girl by her hair, because I know she ain't learned how to do nothing. She can't fight. He can't fight. He can't fight. She can't fight. Really? Because I'm thinking that mama and daddy might have had enough money to send you to karate class or some other kind of self-defense classes. You may have learned to fight in a different way. Not only that, you can be just because you may have grown up with a little bit of cash doesn't mean that you don't have anger problems. Doesn't mean that you lack aggression. Doesn't mean that. I mean, we call people who are financially greedy, we call them sharks for a reason. Sharks bite. They bite, they swallow, they devour, they tear flesh. Let's get into it. Urban Therapy people, hold on. Cherry is all up in the house. Cinderella Dane, a Cinderella Dane, Well, it's the woman, Dana Dane, with fame. It's Cinderella, Dana Dane. Well, it's the woman, Dana Dane, with fame. Good to see you, Dana Dane. Let's get it popping now. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. With this your daily go get a mission show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I'm your host, Sun 752, aka Omar with the rrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrr, well, then you just say Omar with the Arts and Daily Go Get a Business Show all up in your area. And we are here on this Flashback Friday. Thank God it's Friday. We made it through another week, and it's the fifth of the month, the fifth. Wake up. What's up, y'all? How you feeling, my brother from another mother, Norris Hill? That's up, my brother from another mother, Norris Hill. What's up, my brother? Thanks for coming on now. It's good to see your face all on the screen. There's no doubt. And Emily Dunlap is it. I said, Emily. What's going on, Emily? All up on the Instagram side. Good to see me, some of you. All right. So tonight, we're asking the question. We're making the statement. We're trying to find out. We're trying to dig into it. All right. You grew up in the struggle, but can you fight? You grew up broke. Grew up in the Jets. Grew up in the toughest neighborhood with the worst conditions. Does that mean that you know how to fight? People seem to believe that now, don't they? You know, a fight is metaphoric. We talk about fighting. We're not always just talking about, you know, mixing it up, getting pugilistic on people. A fight is anything that you have to do in order to survive, in order to win, in order to get ahead, in order to advance. That's a fight. But When we talk about fighting, a lot of times we are talking about a physical fight. But why would we think that somebody who is poor can fight? Well, there are some clues. We know that if you grew up more than likely crime of some type probably entered your repertoire. Either you stole. Well, you robbed. There's a difference between stealing and robbing. You steal from somebody, they might not have been around. You went in their pockets. You know, you might have been that 6 or 7 year old that went in the cubby hole when everybody else was in class and took everybody money, candy, and whatever else they had in their pockets in the cubby hole. Yo, my coat was in the cubby hole and I had this inside my pockets and it's gone. One thing we do know about people who steal, it's not that you have to know how to fight when you steal, but if you get caught stealing, somebody is more than likely going to retaliate against you. So you got to kind of know how to get busy to get you prepared for strong arm robbery style. We assume that people who grow up in impoverished neighborhoods and under really, really impoverished conditions, we assume that they have gone through all of this. We're not saying that they're bad people. My video paused on Instagram. I wonder why. If anything, I would be thinking that we would be having some technical difficulties over here on the YouTube side. Are we having any technical difficulties over here on the YouTube side? Am I buffering? Is there any monkey business? Please don't let there be no monkey business. The last thing I want tonight is a monkey business. I don't want no monkey. How we doing? We good? Levels is good. Levels is good. Are we all right? My big sis, Robin Ming, is here to do a thing. Good to see you. Thanks for coming on through, Queen. Narcel said, don't jinx it. Okay. I just wanted to know, because like I said, it said video paused on the, I'm like, Instagram? Nah. It can't be on the grizz. But anyway. Anyway, a lot of times we assume that people who grew up broke can probably get busy. Like it wasn't no poor nerds. And I don't mean today's nerds. Because everybody wants to be a nerd nowadays. You know, now we got different kind of nerds. You know, oh yeah, I'm a video game nerd. Oh yeah, I'm a jigsaw puzzle nerd. Oh yeah, I'm a math nerd. Oh yeah, I'm a this nerd, and I'm a dad nerd, and I'm a music nerd, and I'm an art nerd, and I'm a nerd to this. You know, nerd is being it's all in vogue now. Back in the day, a nerd was a sucker boy. It was somebody who was probably good in school, but not all the time. There were some nerds who wasn't that good in school. They just happened to have big, thick glasses. And they knew how to talk properly because they, you know, their parents insisted on it. Don't mean you was passing all your classes. You might have had some thug in you, but you look nerdy. So, yeah. So you mean to tell me in the whole ghetto, in the whole hood, there were no nerds? I went to school with kids who lived in the projects. They didn't all fail classes. Some of them were very smart. My girl Tisa Lewis. You know, I never thought about looking Tisa up on Facebook. But Tisa Lewis, the reason I remember Tisa Lewis is because I knew Tisa from, like first grade. And when I was in second grade, I was taking speed reading classes. My dad had me and Dita tutored to learn how to speed read. So we was, it never went that fast. It was more like, we got good at it. So I was the best reader in my class. So when it was time for reading class in second grade, 1977, I had to go to another class for advanced readers. And guess who was in the class? Guess. Tisa Lewis from the projects. Little cute light skin. Tisa Lewis. Tisa was smart in second grade, third grade, fourth grade. Tisa turned around and went to Pickett Middle School, which was our local middle school. She didn't go to Masterman or nothing like that. Tisa was smart as shit in fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade. I think Tisa Lewis was like the valedictorian of the 1984 graduating class. Tisa Lewis went to Central High. Central High, at the time, was the best high school in Philadelphia. And in 1984 was the first year that they allowed girls to go to the high school. It used to be all-boys school. We had girls' high school for girls and Central for boys. And everybody knew that Central was better than girls' high. But don't tell the girls at girls' high that, because, you know, girls' high was like a big badge of honor back in the day. But Tisa didn't go to girls' high. She went to Central. Tisa was smart. Tisa grew up in the projects. I knew other people in Tisa's family. They wasn't exactly, let's just say the 80s affected everybody. You know, the 80s. So there were plenty of people that grew up. Now, just because she lived in the projects, I never been over Tisa's house and nothing like that. We was never close. But, like, you know, our family could have lived in the projects and still worked or whatever. I can't speak on that. But my point is, one thing is for sure, she wasn't middle class and she wasn't well off financially, but she sure as hell was smart. I don't know if Tisa could fight. I don't know if she was having a fight. You understand what I'm saying? Shirley Shaw, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. Shirley Shaw, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. I just think that it's intriguing to me that people think that just because you grew up in the hood that you know how to get busy. Whether we talking about getting busy with the hands or whether we talking about being a hustler or whether we talking about just knowing how to make it. Because I'm thinking that if everybody in the hood was so great at making it, why didn't the hood get better? I ain't say why didn't they make it out of the hood, because you might choose to stay in the hood if it makes you comfortable. I live in the hood. It's not even as good as a hood as I grew up in. But nonetheless, why hasn't the hood improved? If we as survivalists are down here surviving so well, we've gotten so great at surviving, why hasn't the hood got better at surviving? Do you understand what I mean? Why hasn't the hood improved? Why hasn't the hood got better at surviving? People have to come in from other places and gentrify the hood to improve the hood. Some people agree with that. A lot of people don't agree with that. Fuck. Oh, all right, bet. Yeah, man. I thought I left the drink at the crib. I forgot. And motherfuckers act like they forgot about drink. So, yeah. If we're so great at surviving, why haven't the hood got better? Why haven't we been able to show how much better we have gotten? Why doesn't it show? One thing is for sure, we know that there's violence in the hood. We know that. A lot of shooting, a lot of beatings, a lot of stabbings, a lot of trauma unit shit going on. Okay. But does it apply to everybody? It's hard to deny that your economic condition doesn't breed violent crime. It just does. It does. The frustration, the depression, there will always be a lot of violence where there's very little money in education. Because that's how people handle their business when they haven't been taught a better way. I'm not saying that we all come from, you know, I'm not saying we a bunch of monkeys or a bunch of animals living down here. But it's consistent. It's consistent. Angie Phillips. What's up, Angie Phillips? Hey, yo. What up, Angie? Don't get her, Angie Phillips. Good to see you. So, yeah, what's up, ma? How you doing? I ain't seen you around these parts and a good hot one. But yeah, so that's what we're talking about tonight. That's what we're talking about tonight. You know, yeah, you grew up in the struggle, but can you fight? I hate to bring this up. But do y'all remember the show Making of the Band? It was a show, Puff Daddy had a show where he took a bunch of rappers and they had to, it was a reality TV show. And, you know, so they had to do a bunch of things in order to get the record contract, and they was going to put together this group of rappers from different parts of the country. So we had a rapper from New Orleans, a rapper from Florida, a rapper from Philly, who was E-Ness, and a rapper from New York, Babs. And so they were the finalists. They made it. E-Ness from Philly got into a fight with Dylon from Florida. Well, E-Ness didn't exactly win. Cats from Philly are known for knowing how to hold their hands, being very good in the boxing ring, excellent, but just knowing how to hold their hands, period. And it was true back in the day. Knock your fucking head off, pretty boy or not. We was good with that. I don't know if it's like that anymore. And I ain't saying that Enes, you know, exemplified that. He didn't get his ass whooped, but he didn't win. He didn't win. And as a battle rapper, people kept bringing that up, you know. But he grew up in the projects. He grew up. He'll tell you all the time. He's made videos in the projects over there in Bartram Village projects. He definitely grew up broke in the projects. He ain't win that fight. And it's funny because although them cats from down south, they might not be the smoothest on the boxing side. But from what I know, they will fuck you up. Like Charles Barkley said. you know, I don't like Charles Barkley. I never really liked him. You know, there are things about Charles Barkley I just don't appreciate. But there are also some things about him that I do appreciate. And one thing he said, he was talking about cats from New York. He was like, yeah, New York. He was like, New York guys just think they tough. I was like, yeah, he right. I'm not saying that they aren't tough people in New York, because they undoubtedly are. But he was saying because they talk tough so much. They win a lot of fights without actually having to fight. Because they talk that slick stuff. They talk that, you know what I mean, pussy. You know what I'm saying? But when you get your hands on them, get your arms around them, throw them through a plate glass window, it's like, oh, wow. Yeah. You know, like, when I was growing up, and you know how popular Eddie Murphy was. So, you know, in the movies, you know, Eddie Murphy, when he fought, you know what I'm saying? He's like New York cat, even though he's from Long Island. But anyway, Eddie was saying, I think it was Raw. Yeah, it was Raw. And he was saying how, he was like, yeah, in the movies, of course I'm tough. Of course I'm a win, you know, fighting. He said, but when he was in that club, he got in a fight in the club. He said, the white boy was like, come on. He was like, yeah, it got real. Like all that tough talk, all that scared, nah. Your skills are going to show improve now. Okay. Once again, I'm not trying to say that people who grew up in the hood or grew up without money are a bunch of frauds, because it's not true. But you have to judge things on a case-by-case basis. You can't, you know, everybody can't be that one. And those of us who grew up in the hood, we knew who the punks were. We knew who the real tough guys were. We knew the ones who would fight that only if somebody else was around to break up the fight. We knew who the ruthless fighters were, the dirty ones were, the ones who you better not fight because you're going to have to fight their whole damn family. We knew the who's who. Well, you don't know them. You don't know the who's who. So you might make assumptions, just like you might assume that because somebody grew up in Mount Airy or West Oak Lane or out in the county, you might think that they can't fight. Well, good luck if they grew up in Chester. Because, yeah, they can fight. Yeah. And they fight a lot. That's a fact. pound for pound, Chester might fight more than Philly. All right. Okay. TK Wright says, people automatically assume that everyone in the hood can fight. They can't. And that folks from the hood can handle adversity better. Not necessarily. Think about it. If people who were financially fucked up could really handle adversity better, then the projects would be the training ground for your success, wouldn't it? The Jets would be like, yo, it's a good thing I grew up in the Jets. Yeah, I wouldn't be CEO if it wasn't for the Jets. I wouldn't be executive if it wasn't for the Jets. I wouldn't own my own if it wasn't for the Jets. I wouldn't be out of the hood if it wasn't for the Jets. I wouldn't be this magical, this larger than life character if it wasn't for the Jets. It don't work that way. It just doesn't. Of course we have some success stories that come out of the projects. Jay-Z and any other rapper from New York. Damn near. Damn near all of them. All of them. Jay-Z, Nas, Mob, whoever. Whoever. It's the who's who. Like, it's almost, if you're a New York rapper and you grew up in a house, it's like, you grew up in a house, yeah, right. What are you going to tell me next? You graduated high school? You did? Who does he think he is? Cool Moe Dee? Yeah. So, you know. Okay. Carol Chamberlain says, yes, I remember it, but I didn't watch it. I ain't watch it either, Carol. Everything I'm telling you, I found out after the fact. You know what I mean? But you can go on YouTube and plug it in, and it'll show you. It'll show you. Like if I go, let me see. E-Ness. Fight on Making the Band. Boom, there it is. E-Ness fight on Making the Band. And yeah. Oh, it wasn't Dylan that he fought. It was Fred. So, you know. But nonetheless. And to be honest with you, I've never actually seen it. I just heard that he lost the fight. You know what? After this shit, I'm gonna check it out. Maybe he didn't do as bad as people said he did. You know, in battle rap, you know, anytime you don't totally demolish somebody. Listen, I've heard rappers say that somebody lost against somebody that they clearly won against. You know, so. It's a very debatable sport. Anyway, Ansel Jones says, when people heard I'm from Baltimore in the military, they said we going with you off base because you know about the hood. Well, you know, Baltimore is very hood. But there are very good parts of Baltimore too. It's actually kind of a beautiful city in many ways. It reminds me of Philly in many ways. Row homes, blocks and blocks of row homes. But they row homes look different. Like, y'all row homes in Baltimore look skinnier than ours. I'm like, y'all need some railings or something like that. Like, why none of y'all row homes seem to have porches? No, actually, some of them do. I don't know. Nah, I like B-more. You know, they got the nice harbor down there. B-more is kind of fly. You know what I'm saying? But it is hood. You can't front on that. B-more is hood. And the Maryland motherfuckers will smoke a nigga. It's kind of violent down there in B-more. HBO The Wire in the corner. Yeah. But when you see it in person, you know what I'm saying? of the best series HBO ever had. The Wire and The Corner. The Corner was dope. That was real dope. It was dope. You know what I mean? Okay. Carol James says, Ansel, wow, so all of B-More is the hood. Listen, those two series did shine the light on Baltimore. It really did. It wasn't going to get out of that. Shout out to B-More. Word up. Cal says, if you can make it in the project, you can make it anywhere. Really? You know what, Cal? People might get mad at me on the playback when I say this, but it should be if you can make it in the projects, why the fuck you still in the projects? I know people who move from one project to another project. How you live in three projects? Yeah, well, you know. I moved from one. It ain't easy to get out of the projects. It ain't easy. It ain't easy to get kicked out of the projects. It ain't easy to have the mindset to get out of the projects. Not easy. It happens. But it ain't easy. Make sure that y'all like the show. Make sure that y'all push the like button. Hit the like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. It's going down, baby. Go down, baby. West Baltimore. Word up. T.K. Wright says, I spent almost every summer in Brooklyn from age 8 to 11. These paws got a lot of practice on folks that came at me because I'm from Queens and they were from BK. They learned. I don't see how. I mean, think about it. And what's up, my man, Tony Starks? Tony Starks, Iron Man, is in the house. Tony Starks, Iron Man. Iron Man. No, I still says at Carol, I don't know of any entrepreneurs that hold on to the project mentally. I don't know about that. Like the boy Birdman, you know, the boy Birdman, he was from, you know, the New Orleans projects, not Calliope, Magnolia, the Nolia. We from the Nolia. And they are, you know, they still speak that slang. They still have that, I mean, they country anyway. But you can't really say that they country. They just real Southern. I mean, if you country, you out in the country. They in New Orleans. New Orleans is not country. I never been there, but it ain't country. That ain't country. Them motherfuckers on some other shit in New Orleans. It's hard to make it up out of New Orleans alive. Think about it. They had to do the Noah and the Flood thing in order to get niggas up out of New Orleans. Shout out to the refugees of Hurricane Katrina. But they had the Noah and the Flood them out of there. What's up, Sucre Jetois? Sucre JTX. What's going on, Ms. JTX? But yeah, okay. Carol says, hey, Tone, you free? The tea is free. 1-2-T. The group is called T. Carol said, try to stay out a minute. Yeah, I was recently acting a fool in the group, as you can see. You gotta chill. Tony Stark says, I hate the PJs. I mean, listen, it can be an all right place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. My grandmother lived in the projects. So all the time I was growing up, she moved there in 78. Before 78, she lived in a crib over in Milwaukee, over in Burleigh, 27th in Burleigh. I remember that shit. But then she moved to West Lawn Projects. As they say, West Lawn Projects. So I spent my time when I went to go see my grandmother up in the projects. Saw a lot of crazy shit in the projects. And hey, the crazy part about it is I didn't know that was the projects. I thought that projects were only high-rise projects. So around my way, we had the high-rise and we had the low-rise projects. I didn't know that the low-rise projects were projects. I had to get put on to that, like, they the projects too, oh. I was like, what? What's project? I'm like, over there on Alfred Street. Alfred Street is projects? They said, yeah. That's why they don't have no basements. I was like, they don't have no basement? I didn't know. I thought projects meant it was a tall building. I didn't know. But yeah, so I spent a lot of time in the projects without knowing. Not everybody who lived in those projects was tough, and not everybody could fight. But they did fight a lot, and it was tough, and it was crazy. It was a lot of drugs. It was a lot of, but we had so much fun. And the girls was awfully cute. Milwaukee used to have some pretty girls when I was growing up. Yo, after I got in my 20s, I was like, what the fuck happened, though? What y'all do? Everybody looking like studs and shit. Shout out to the Mill, though. Shout out to Milton. I mean, when I say everybody started looking like studs, I mean, I'm not even bullshitting. I'm like, what the fuck are y'all doing? Shit ain't cool. All right. TK, right, says, Nola is country as fuck in São Paulo. Oh, okay. I've been there a dozen times. Okay. All right. I didn't know that. You know, with all of that Big Easy talk and all that mobster activity going on and all, you know, they don't call it the Big Easy for nothing. It's crazy. And you're the only person I know that ever said that it was country. Everybody else that I know that went there, they was like, yo, country is not the name I would give it. It sounds like shit. Country. You supposed to go to the country to get away from that shit. You go there, you get smack dab into this shit. But I hear you. Cherry says, people claim that the projects is so bad. Go to an all-white neighborhood and you the only black person. It's not just children taunting you. I don't care what people say. Black people still care. I know what you're saying. But in terms of what we're talking about, I'm not even saying, like, this conversation tonight is not even just about black people, for real, for real. Because white people who are poor are violent as fuck, too. I mean, as fuck. I don't know if y'all remember how Kensington was back in the day. Y'all know how it is now. Zombieville. But it's always been really bad because it's always been very poor, always low educated. But back in the day, it was all white. So your black ass, your black poor and educated ass couldn't go there safely back in the day. You can now. But back then, they was fighting each other like crazy, and they was definitely fighting your ass. You had to get your nigga ass on up out of there. But they were beasts on each other. It was crazy. Crazy, crazy. And it's still like that. Poverty, low education. Kensington High consistently had the highest dropout rate of all of the high schools in the Philadelphia public school system. Consistently, year after year after year. It was crazy. And I never knew anybody that went to Kensington High until my 20s. And I was like, oh, And everybody I know who went to Kensington High, black or white, dropped out. I was like, damn. I was like, because first I was thinking like, oh, Kensington High, it must be all white people that go there. That, and they dropping out like that? Yeah, they was. But it was black people going there too, and they was dropping out too. The rapper Freeway, he went to Kensington High. He said he dropped out. Because they wasn't really teaching the kids. People who drop out of high school always talking about how they wasn't teaching nothing anyway. And how would you know this? Hold on. Grits and wavy and grits. I said grits and wavy and grits. And I mean, laugh at your comment, but she said, back in the 80s, the projects was decent. No, the fuck they wasn't. In the 80s, in the crack era? What projects? Yo, the projects was fucking horrible. See, that's how it go, though. When we kids, we be remembering all of the fun shit that we used to do. The projects in the 80s? You mean the hard hellhole 80s? The Reaganomics, free cheese, powdered eggs and milk? That era? In the projects? First of all, the projects ain't never been decent. It's a concentration of poor people. That's what it is. You have to have qualifications in order to live in the projects. You have to have financial qualifications to live in the projects. And I don't mean a good credit rating. I mean, you have to be poor to live in the projects. You have to be dirt poor because they measure it by your income. I know people who got, you know, public housing because they was on welfare. They got their weight up, started working and all of that. Public housing found out about their job, their income, or whatever. Like, oh, you ain't gonna be paying no $25 a month no more. Your shit is going up considerably. Let's see them check stubs. Or you know, your grandmama or your mom lived in the project. She die and leave you the project. Nowadays, the motherfuckers, they find that death certificate like, oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We heard Miss Mary passed. Look, obituary, Miss Mary. Obituary, a Miss Mary. Obituary, Miss Mary. Obituary, Miss Mary. Rest in obituary. Miss Mary, rest in peace. Oh, obituary. Miss Mary, rest in peace. Oh, obituary. Miss Mary, obituary. Miss Mary, rest in peace. Oh, obituary. Y'all gotta get on up out of here. Reapply. Y'all gotta reapply. And look at all this money and drugs. Y'all living in a project high off the hook. Look at that TV. Y'all, you afford this TV living in this money. Miss Mary be rolling over her grave. She know you done turned her apartment to a goddamn crack house. They ain't know Miss Mary was profiting off the crack house before she passed away. Shout out to Miss Mary. Rest in peace. Rest in heaven. Rest in paradise. Miss Mary. Miss Mary's getting money, though. You know what I mean? Miss Mary. You know, Miss Mary's getting money. All right. So crazy. She said, what project did I miss? Moving in, you're dirt poor. That's the only way. Hold on. Rasheen Griffin, Queen Rasheen. What up, Queen Rasheen? Good to see me, some you. Thanks for coming on through. You know how we do. Word up. Robin Ming says the projects in Jersey don't look like projects. I know what you mean. And it all depends on what part of Jersey. because the projects in Camden look like projects, and the projects in Newark look like projects, and the projects in Trenton look like projects, and the projects in Vineland look like, yeah, the projects over in Bridget look like projects, and yo, the projects in Atlantic City, they look like projects, and yo, the projects in Jersey look like projects, and the projects in Patterson look like projects, it's the projects, it's the prop, it's the prop, it's the prop, and shout out. Wait a minute. And shout out to the trailer parks too. And yes, there are black people who live in trailer parks. But the trailer parks, they say, are white projects, but they're much, much worse. You know, life is tough when you can't afford a double wide. I said life is tough when you can't afford a double wide. Shit is rad, son. Shit is rad. Yes, says rad. You get it right, sir. Okay, wait. I've been all up in NOLA, not just the tourist areas, though. Okay, I hear you. Oh, I'm not. Listen, I can't tell you about a place I've never been. That's what we not going to do. That's what we not going to do. Carol Simley says, where I grew up, we had to go through Penn Treaty Park to go to school. We have to fight whites going come every. Yeah. I knew you was a little ruffian. I knew it. I told you, Carol. Give me my $5. Okay. Yeah, right. Says agreed at poor white areas. The difference is that white people don't look at each other as being resilient when you're PWT. They believe the opposite. Exactly. And, you know, there are many reasons for that. Because, I mean, growing up black, we're so used to the struggle. We're so indoctrinated into not having enough or playing on even playing field that we think that, yeah, I grew up in the hood. You know what I mean? That means I'm tough. That means I'm ready for the world. That means nothing can get to me. I'm like, what you mean nothing can get you? Because you grew up broke? Because you grew up in the hood? I seen plenty of people in the hood crying. And it wasn't just because of that blood that spilled in the streets with the gun shells, you know, laying all around. There's love in the hood. There's affection in the hood. There are heroes in the hood. There's respect in the hood. There are mothers and fathers and grandparents and neighbors and friends and lovers. You ain't tough all day. We ain't walking around here just rah rah. What you mean rah? No rah rah you. No rah rah. No rah rah. Rah rah. Rah 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 rah. It ain't like that, though. It ain't like that. Kristen Wavy said in Chicago, the home of Cabrini. Huh? South sad. Chicago was a rough ass city, and I'm not saying that just because of what's going on now. I'm not even talking about that propaganda. Chicago been, listen, there ain't been a time when Chicago didn't have it popping. Chicago was wilder than New York at one time. Easy. Wilder than any part of New York. Chicago, they get it popping. Crazy. Chicago got a story to tell. And it's a funny thing when you think about the Midwest versus the East Coast. Many of the black people that migrated up to, you know, Baltimore, Jersey, New York, Philly, whatever, a lot of them stayed on the East Coast. So they was coming up from Florida, they was coming up from Georgia, they was coming up from South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia. Chicago mixed it up a lot more. You know, they was coming from Alabama, they was coming from Louisiana, they was coming from Mississippi, they was coming from Tennessee, they was coming from Kentucky, they was coming from Arkansas. They went up, they were the ones who went to New York, I mean, went to Chicago in the D. So it's different. So, you know, you talking about the Deep South, Mississippi, Alabama, and you're talking about being sold down the river. So it makes sense that those ex-slaves and those descendants of slaves were tough. They really did have to fight. The survival, when you was sent down the river, as they called it, the average life expectancy after being sold down the river was this many years. This many fucking years. That's how bad the work conditions were down in the Deep South. 7 fucking years average life expectancy. That shit was backbreaking. So you ask, well, okay, so if you grew up in Mississippi, does that mean you can fight? Probably. I don't know if they had any nerdy slaves down the river. Like, I don't know if you're going to have it. I don't know if you're going to get a chance to get your nerd off. I don't know if that's the way that goes. But yeah, and I'm not saying that nobody from Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Arkansas, whatever didn't come to New York. I'm not saying that, but you'll notice a consistency of where people's families are when you're on the East Coast, where your people's from. You normally hear them saying, my people's from Virginia, my people's from North Carolina, my people's from South Carolina, my people's from Georgia, my people from Florida. They don't move a lot. And when you hear that they from somewhere else going more towards the West, you'd be like, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's some shit. Needs had better be the house slave. What's needs? What that mean? Needs had better be the house slave. Okay. Show husband says, you have to be a parent or two that will beat the shit out of you if you drop out of school or put that fear in you. Listen. I hate to say this, but all black mothers ain't good mothers. All black fathers ain't good fathers. And sometimes when a child is not doing well out here, it's a direct result of bad parenting. So I don't know too many kids that dropped out of school that was worried about their parents whooping their ass. Because you got to think about what happened to them before they dropped out. Before you drop out, you stop going. It's a little hard to pinpoint exactly, like, when did you officially drop out? Because you might have stopped going in ninth grade. Might have started hustling, getting in trouble, going to jail, going to group homes, and that kind of shit. Flunking. Hey, you are 16, 17 in the ninth grade. Like, dude, you really should be on your way finishing up your credits to graduate. Meanwhile, you going to the freshman dance. Oh, sorry, you ain't going to the freshman dance. You still suspended. You got to come back next year for another round of ninth grade. Because you know, Cheryl, you know people as well as I knew people that flunked so many times that they couldn't flunk no more that grade. They had to push them up to the next grade. Remember that? They just put you up because of your age. You can't have a 15-year-old in the sixth grade. Like, yo, come on, man. You know what I mean? You too big to be in the sixth grade. You damn near a pedophile for these 11-year-olds. You can't do it. Grizzly Wavy says, the project has good, wholesome people like the Evans family from Good Times. Well, the Evans family from Good Times was a fucking fantasy. But you're right. They do have good people who lived in the project. They still do. But Good Times was a little extreme because Florida didn't. They was poor. Like, poor, poor. She said James dropped out of school in the fourth grade, and she dropped out of school in the sixth, saying that they had to drop out in order to help their family. Well, in fourth grade, how old are you? 9? What you going to do to help the family? Okay, so they were two uneducated people. They sure didn't talk like they was uneducated, though. In reality, that damn Florida Evans, you know, went to Harvard. Yeah. So she was really fronting. She had to really try to get into her role. Esther role. Yeah, Harvard. She went to fucking Harvard. You went to where? You went to what? You went to what? Huh? Yeah, she went to Harvard. Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. Let me get that right. No, she went to some Ivy League school. I think it was Harvard, though. I don't want to fuck it up. Hold on. What college did Esther Rowe go to?
According to Wikipedia, Esther Rowe was an American actress.
She went to Yale.
Rowe is best known for her role as Florida Evans on the CBS television sitcom Maude for 2 seasons and its spin-off series Good Times for 5 seasons, for which Rowe was nominated for a Golden Globe Award for Best Actress Television Series, Musical, or Comedy in 1976.
This chick was a fucking genius. She went to Spelman and Yale. She went to Yale? Yale? What? What? Yo. Hey, yo. So, alright. She was an actress. Okay, alright. She went to Yale. Esther Rowe was born in 1920. Can you imagine what it was like for her at Yale? Can you imagine what Yale University had to be for Esther Rowe in 1938, 1939? Like, what? What? Well, she went to Spelman first, so maybe she did undergrad at Spelman, or either that or she transferred. Like, she went to Yale. So she's probably a Yale in the 40s. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Smack dab in the Jim Crow era, and Yale is up there in Boston. I mean, up there in Massachusetts. Ooh, 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 ooh. New England. It's worse than the South. Okay. Anyway, she was the 10th of 18 children. What? Well, go on. She was from the South. I mean, South, South. Pompano Beach, Florida. Rest in peace, Esther Rolle. Oh, my man, Det Shepherd, he had came through. Man, that's what's up. He came through on the Blog Talk side. Okay. Okay, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Okay. Wait a minute, Chuck. Wait. Listen, we were supposed to... Listen, the show is about whether you're really tough because you come from the hood, you know. So you're saying, yeah, you grew up in the struggle, but can you fight? The fight has a lot of different meanings to it, you know. It's not just a physical fight, but... Hold on. All right, hold on. I'm at the mood. A lot of y'all comments are just showing up. Okay. And so Joan says, my family lives in Germantown, Philly. That's where I'm from. They have a block party every year. They said from jump, people don't fight, they shoot. Yeah, now. It wasn't like that before. And before, block parties was nothing but fun. It was a block party. But now, a block party getting shot up is not like, that's not like a natural occurrence. But everybody complains about the kids nowadays don't fight. They just shoot. It wasn't that sweet when they was fighting. Because back in the day, they was fighting and shooting. I know this for a fact. We got to stop glorifying the wild and crazy 70s and 80s. We got to stop that bullshit. You got to stop the bullshit. The 80s was the height of the gang era. Over on the West Coast, they was tripping with the AK-47s straight. And on the East Coast, we got to stop romanticizing the 80s. We wasn't romanticizing that shit when we was there. It was bad. How can we romanticize a time when... The crack, we agree that crack fucked up the black community, right? At least that's what everybody say. I'm trying to figure out a time when the black community was popping like that. I hear stories in Harlem Renaissance. Harlem ain't never been that good. We got to stop the bullshit. We got to stop. Yeah, there's always been culture. There's always been talent. But guess what else there's always been? Poverty, low education, mad violence, black on black. Always been there. You ain't escaping that. But the 80s was fucking terrible. The crack era, the gang era, the hip hop era, full of crack and gangs. It was, yo, real shit. I mean, the cocaine era of the 80s. Violence, crazy. That was the cocaine cowboys era. I mean, I don't know where people get this shit from. Oh, yeah, the 80s. No. I was a teenager in the 80s. It was scary. Daily. Every fucking day on edge. We got used to it. But you got used to it being bad, not used to it being comfortable. Shit was crazy. Someone Stark says, this black seed powder doing this detoxing job. Black seed powder is some good shit. New York City, Drew Hamilton projects two blocks away from Big L in the NFL, Niggas for Life. Down the block from Paid in Full, the real people. Well, from Paid in Full. I'm Paid in Full. Home of Rucker Park. Rucker Park, yeah, with Junior Mafia chasing Cameron. They chased Dipset. All right, Shout out to Rucker Park, though. You know, famous basketball park. Right there, you know? And so, not just in Philly, everywhere, you know. You know about Hamilton. Tony Stark says, African Day Parade used to stop on my block. That's what's up. Rasheen, yeah, Carrie, it was hard here. I missed that ADP. My nigga had a freaking tiger in his house. Yo, Tom, I'm glad you here. New York got so many projects. You can't romanticize that shit. It's too many people, not enough living spaces. So, you know, you live in, a lot of times you live in projects by default. You might not be all that broke. Housing costs so much in New York. You can make a decent salary, still can't make it out of projects. Like, yo, you know, I mean, I'm getting paid, but not paid enough for that. That shit's crazy. I mean, y'all got apartment brokers. What the fuck is an apartment broker? What is an apartment broker? I've heard a real estate broker. I've heard of that. We know what that is. How do you have a broker for an apartment? That's how bad it is. Corruption like crazy. Yeah, I gave my broker $4,000, so I should be coming up with something soon. Well, how much is the place? Well, I'm hoping that he can get me something, you know, that I can afford, something like, you know, $1,800 to $2,000. I'm like, well, how much you make? I'm like, yo, why do you think people be moving from New York and they're never coming back? Can't afford to come back. Shit, I can make it down south. Look, I got a big crib, backyard. I mean, I got a pool in ground, and I got a car. But if I move back to New York, I got to go back to the projects. I can't afford that. That money ain't good up there like it is down here. Ain't or. But if you moved out of New York from New York, and you know, I mean, you still got the swag and the slang and all that kind of stuff and all of that, does that mean that you can hold your hand? Does it mean that you can make it everywhere that you go? Maybe for some. Maybe just for those who leave. For those who stay, what is it saying? What is it really saying? I mean, we could take this to another level. Many people go to jail, but are the people who have gone to jail, done long stretches in jail, are they the toughest people you know? They're not the toughest people I've known. The toughest people the people that I knew that were the best with their hands weren't the ones who went to jail. Everybody can't be the best fighter if just because they in jail. Sure. There's some really violent cats that could probably really, really, you know, hold their own and do a lot of damage. But we need to switch gears a little bit. We already over an hour in. So we're going to go to about 8:30. But I want to make sure that we cover this whole not being broke, not being uneducated, growing up in a decent family, you know, that wasn't poor. How does that mean? I mean, do we stereotypically believe that they can't fight or that they must be punks, they must be soft? I'm like, I went to Henry School in 1982. I ain't live around the way. I'm coming all the way from Germantown, getting on the H. You know, to get off at, you know, Carpenter Lane and McCallum. Go to Henry School, walking up the block. And it was different. You know, all these white kids in the class. You know? All the kids that went to the school was smart. At least it seemed. A high percentage. It's a very good school. But guess what? There were fights outside that school every day. No, I ain't going to say every day. But enough. And just like all the other schools, when they knew somebody was fighting after school, it was a big crowd. And, you know, white people lived all around the neighborhood. Now, granted, a lot of the kids who went to Henry didn't live around there. Some of them lived on East Mount Airy. This is in West Mount Airy. Some of them come from Germantown like me or whatever. Bottom line is, these cats that went to Henry, I was like, yeah, these motherfuckers can hold theirs. I'm like, I came from Pickett. The land of the hold theirs. And some of them was from Mount Airy. Some of them was from Germantown. Some of them was right on the, it depends on, like, you know, let's say you live in Germantown and Horder. Technically, it's Mount Airy. But if you ask people who live up there, they'll tell you, no, this is Germantown. I'm like, but you pass, you're not only past Washington Lane, you pass Upsall. Like, yeah. This Dogtown, Germantown. I'm like, hey, they said it, not me. But them cats from Dogtown could rumble. And I was shocked. And their parents wasn't broke. Everybody, at Christmas time, everybody came through with fly gear and they knew shit and all of that. It wasn't a bunch of broke kids. These were a bunch of kids whose parents worked as family, whether blue collar, whatever, middle class families, black, white. Yeah, that's all it was. It wasn't no Puerto Ricans. It was just black and white. But it was very well integrated. So it was different. But it wasn't no bunch of punks. And it wasn't no bunch of bums. And it wasn't no bunch of, you know what I'm saying? It was. So over there off of Allen's Lane was Henry Houston School. I imagine it was the same deal over there. We had to go to Houston for something. What did we have to go to Houston for? I think to take some kind of class. We had to go to Mifflin, which is down on Midvale Avenue. We went there for sewing and woodshop. But I remember going to Henry Houston for something. Rasheen, can you help me out? What did we go to Houston for? Because I've been inside that building for something. Okay. Show Hudson says, I miss my grandma, but I really miss that senior discount she had on the bill. Man, I went from $20 a month to $200 in the winter. Yo, you gotta chill. You got Juanito Wilbur. What's going on, my man? I ain't seen you online in a minute. Good to see you. Yeah, you sure? I have my fair share of animals, though. Okay, wait. Omar, it was fight or get beaten up. I didn't like getting beaten up, so I fought. Listen, I got the drop on you. You know what I'm saying? I've been waiting for you to slip up. All I know is somebody owed me $5. And I think I know that somebody know who they is. TK Wright says, don't sleep on Carol Omar. She has paws too. That's why you need to stop bullying us before we roll on you. None of y'all know where Carol live at. But I tell you this, it ain't North Philly no more. I got two words for y'all. Two. A one, a two. The first one is gated. The second one is community. Put them together. Somebody done bougied up over the years. And I think I know who that somebody is. But, you know, no names. No names. But her first name rhymes with barrel. And her last name is reminiscent of the greatest basketball player who ever lived. And it ain't Michael Jordan. Okay. Yeah, I'm talking about something. Omar, don't let my demeanor fool you. Somebody gonna be $5. I ain't been fooled. I know what I'm talking about. Tone Stark says, Chi-Town, home of the OG gangsters. South side and west side. Wait a minute. Cheryl, tell myself, yeah, Carol, better be found out on here than finding out running to you on a dark in a dark alley. The times I saw her wasn't in no dark alley. She ain't coming to see you in no dark alley. Trust me. You know what I mean? And not because she's scared. She just ain't, you know. She's like, yo, you ain't robbing me. not around the way you ain't. Bougie. Mobsters, Tommy guns. Word. Drive by, shoot you up in a suite looking for fresh air. Looking fresh to death, for real. New York City, 52 hand blocks and 10. Yeah. I was always getting kicked out. Special ed was pre-prison. Oh, that's why you won't cooperate. Oh, okay, Starks. Okay. All right. Says in the 40s. Well, Chicago been wild, man. It's a lot more than tall buildings in Chicago. Chicago wild and cold. Wild and cold, like Detroit. Wild and cold. Apparently her parents were from the Bahamas. Oh, yeah. Have you, she kind of had an accent, though. You know what I'm saying? Tomsa says, he ain't lying. All Harlem. Full blast bullshit. 110th Street was fucked up with zombie cracking. Yeah, I mean, people be romantic. Like, the 80s was... Stop! What? Come on, man. As an out-of-towner, it used to be so dangerous to go to NY. I mean, you had to tuck your chains and all that shit. You think it's okay. Like, for the past 10, 12, 15 years, I go there with my chains out. Not these chains. I'm talking about the big gold plate. I wouldn't have done that shit in the 80s or 90s. No way. Like, nah, I wouldn't normally do this. But we ain't home. Not that it was ever safe at home, but you know, it's like there's a difference between the nigga you know and the nigga that you don't know. Like, I know Philly niggas. I know when they going strike. New York dudes, they have a different motivation. Like, they might rob you, but they don't even really want the chain. They just like feel disrespected that you thought you were hard enough to walk around here with a chain, and you ain't even from around here. So I had to relieve you of the chain. You lucky I didn't leave blood on your shirt. But I put the barrel to your temple. You make the decision. Okay. Huh. Look, you took all my cash and all that, but I was just wondering. Can you get me back to Penn Station? I got to call my aunt. Can I use your phone? Yeah. Hold on. Toad Stark says, I've seen some pussies in Rikers. gonna be. Everybody who get locked, it's a county jail. You don't get locked up because you hard. You get locked up because you fucked up. Carol says, Omar, I'll fight you for that $5. Prison is a gate. Ansel says, prison is a gated community. Yeah, but not when you don't use that term. To just, yeah. Carol Thomas, I'm not a gated community, damn it. Oh, yes? Hey, you care. It's not a gated community. Just answer me this one question, and I'm going to let it go. And I ain't got nothing else to say about it. And I'm going to just leave it right there where it is. Do y'all have curbside parking in front of your building? Just answer me that, and I'll let it go. Do y'all have curbside parking? You know, parking on the street, on by the curb. Yeah. No, it still says, know thy turf. Yeah, Carol says, Omar, you know the animals in your jungle, not someone else's. Listen, in 93, I told y'all the story before. I went to Milwaukee for my uncle's funeral. So we at the club, you know what I mean? In 1993, I was 23. You couldn't tell me nothing. Like, nothing. Like, y'all probably saying, that we can't tell you nothing now. No. Then, you couldn't tell me nothing because I wasn't listening. Now, I'm listening. I'm like, it ain't what it, you know, like, it took too many bumps and bruises and, you know, setbacks and, you know what I mean, falls and been humbled like crazy. 93, I wasn't humble. So we in the club. I'm like, yeah, I'm here for a funeral, but I'm also here for a good time. The girl that I liked since 86 found out that I was coming to town. I hadn't been to Milwaukee since 86. 86, she wouldn't give me nothing. She was scared, like, she kept promising me. Before you go home, I promise, we going to do it. We going to do it. She was. And thinking about it, it was 86. So they might not have been. They might have only been. But it was 86. I was smaller. So he was. Anyway, he found out I was in town. She told my cousin, like, yo, your cousin. He finally came back to, listen, she told him, she gave him the key to her apartment. He told her to give it to me. Tell him to come see me. When y'all done at the joint, tell him come see me. Well, she didn't say joint because they don't say it. But anyway, so we at the club. I'm rapping to the joint. I mean, not the joint from 86, but, you know, the joint. You know, so after the club, because I had this thick herringbone on. I ain't thinking nothing of it. Them cats was like, Joe. I'm like, y'all gonna stick me up over a chain? But I ain't even peeped the scene. So I was talking to the girl in the parking lot. So I'm like, you know, yeah. So, you know, I'm up here for my uncle's funeral and whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna be here for a minute, probably like a good week, whatever. So, you know, we got activities to do, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But listen, give me a number because I'm going to holler at you and be here. And, blah, 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 blah. And the boy comes up while I'm talking to her. He's like, yeah, so blah, blah, whatever her name was. Hey, so I was like, I'm talking to her. He comes up. He did it in a weird way. Like, he ain't do it in the East Coast way. You know, the East Coast way was would be more like, hey, yo, let's say her name was Tanya. Hey, yo, Tanya, can I talk to you for a minute? He ain't do it like that. He like, hesitated. So I'm watching. Once I peeped this man in the background. I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. These kids. Oh. That's either they girl. That's either one of they girl. Or something. It never occurred to me that they wanted my chain. So I told my cousin, I said, listen, cuz, I'm over here talking to this chick. But these dudes, they like, you know, like, let's keep an eye on them. So my cousin on it, he's like, oh, no, all right, oh, I see you. So, you know, we finished exchanging, whatever, whatever. We jump in my cousin ride. These niggas following us. I'm like, following us for what? The time to if you was going to stick me up, you were supposed to do that in the parking lot. What you think? Like, you going to do a drive-by to get out of the car to come and slump me, like, and get the chain? Like, yo, you supposed to stick me up and take the chain. Like, it's too late now. So, they following us in the car. My cousin's like, he's dumb because he know them. He know his niggas. He said, all right, I'm going to ride by the police station with these dumb motherfuckers. But you know, they backed off. I was like, what is this weirdo? Like, I got to get the fuck out of the Midwest. They tripping. Like, they still snatching chains in 93? Like, we done with all that. A Haribo? Ah! What's up, Lulu Red Feather? What's up, Lulu? That's my girl, Leah. What's up? And Brown Eyes, thanks for coming through. Y'all coming through on the end, though. Matter of fact, we did all kinds of overtime or whatever. I must make feel good on this Friday. You know what I mean? I must be... All right, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. We good. We're good. Levels is good. Levels is good. Let's do these birthday shout-outs and get on about it here, man. I'm crazy OT. All right, we have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. February 5th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special, because they are special, because they are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L to get the R-E-S-E-E-C-C, to get the R-E-S-E-E-C-C. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L to get the R-E-S-E-E-C-C. They get number one. I said number one out the box. Oh, hold up. Oh, Kelly Lawson, turning 50 years old today. The Big 5-0 Half Century Club, do the damn thing. And also turning 50 years old today, go get a Stacey Yvette White. Stacey White, happy birthday to you. And also Morgan Darcel, happy birthday to you. And Laverne Chambers, turning 53 years old today. And it's Callie, turning 22 years old today. Wait, what's a 22-year-old doing? I know this is a lie. Yeah, if you're 22, then I'm 22. Okay. And Leanne Mathis, turning 51 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And Lasagna Villar, happy birthday to you. And Queen Chinny, turning 27 years old today. And Marcus Etheridge, turning 57 years old today. And Kina Kennedy, happy birthday to you. And my man, going all the way back to the 1990, we worked at the Federal Reserve Bank together. That's my man, Antoine Carter. Happy birthday to you. And Anise Morris, my girl, Anise Morris, turning 75 years old today. Wow. And Linda Dotson, happy birthday to you. And Emily Erborno, happy birthday to you. And my girl, Karen Purdy. Karen Purdy, happy birthday to you. And last but certainly not least, my girl, Keisha D. Myers. Keisha Myers, South Philly, stand up all day, every day. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious. February 5th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn, rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn, rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, listen, man, you know what? One thing I didn't really touch on as much as I really wanted to is this whole, you know, just because you grew up with a so-called silver spoon in your mouth doesn't mean that you are soft, because that has no bearing on any anger issues that you may have. Just because you grew up in a family that didn't have serious money problems does not mean that you didn't suffer from abuse. It doesn't mean that you didn't have to fight for your own physical survival. It doesn't mean that conditions were so good for you that it wasn't comparable to somebody who had grown up dirt poor. Many people who grew up with parents who had money say that they envied people who grew up poor because they had unity, because they had love, because they had something in common, a common bond that kept them together for their whole life, where they may have been neglected, where they may have been ignored, where they may have been abused, where they may have not ever been shown love, affection, or any attention. And that can make you angry and violent and a not so good person if those things teach you to have to fight for everything that you get, even though it doesn't have to do anything, have anything to do with money. So I think, you know, we need to judge people more on what their individual story is rather than just whether we know that they grew up having money or not. All people who grew up broke or poor or uneducated aren't violent, aren't dangerous, aren't predatory, and aren't tough. Many are, but it has no bearing on what success may befall you. It doesn't work that way. So we have to change our mindset to adjust to people's individual stories. You have a life story. I have a life story. We all got a life story. This is our life story. We swap information. But many of us, when we get frustrated, we might reach out and touch somebody. And it ain't got nothing to do with how much money we have in our bank account. You understand what I'm saying? So, I'm just saying. I want y'all to have a great, 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 great rest of the night. Great, 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 great rest of the night. Tone Star says, in jail again. See you in 30. Damn, Tone. Damn. You got it, yo. We're going to get an intervention from him. Yo, we're going to put you in the halfway house before you. When you come out again, we put you in the halfway house, dog. We're going to get you in the halfway house so we can integrate you back into society. You know what I mean? You coming out just to go back in, man. Come on, man. You know what I mean? I know you ain't got a girlfriend in that Facebook jail. I know you ain't got no girl in that side. Hey, yo. Make sure, listen, it's the pandemic still going on. Any of y'all, yo, I don't want to get in all y'all business. The fuck am I asking? Have any of y'all taken the vaccine? I'm not even going to judge that. I just want to know, has anybody taken the vaccine? Still wear your mask. Still social distance. Still be careful. Don't be out there smutting and throwing your shit all over the place, acting all reckless and all that kind of stuff. I mean, but we will be back tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock a.m. So peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. Love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all and love y'all back to life. So on the blog talk side, I'm going to get you out of here. I holler back.